one of my favorite things about what we do this thing called darting across Connecticut, where I throw a dart at a map and wherever it lands, we go. Connecticut's history is amazing. And we've already done Wethersfield, so we know this fight between Wethersfield and Windsor.
Yeah,
and
we stay out of that.
Yeah, it's close, but you know, but the town, the history is great, and the historical societies are all different, too.
Yes.
You know, and you have a structure right on this road, right?
Yes, we run the Alexander King House.
Yeah, and I'm talking with Christine Rytok and Barry Sisk are joining us as well with the Suffield Historical Society. And, you know, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I guess we were talking to somebody who was here who was Polish descent, said it was a big Polish community, and his grandfather and grandmother, one was a maid in somebody's wealthy house, the other was a gardener. And was it basically when Hartford was gangbusters business-wise that the wealthy bought property here and built these homes? I mean, go forget the colonial era for a second, but like go to like that, I don't know, mid to late 19th century on end.
Well, Suffield was a place for summer homes. There's one, a big house on Mountain Road, and I believe the family came here from Chicago.
Really?
As a summer home, and they were very wealthy. They had a polo field set up, and so it was quite an estate and quite wealthy. And I think it was in the same family until about 1885 or so.
Huh.
But now the area, all houses now.
Well, because it seems like there's just an inordinate amount of large homes from both the colonial era and that, I guess you felt, sort of like the second home era. Christine, like, but in terms of the settlement of the town, I mean, the classic story is that people came here looking for land and they bought it from the Native Americans. And then, I mean, talk about, is it any different here?
So that is exactly what happened here. The land was purchased from Native Americans, and the town was settled in 1674. And because of a surveying error, it was actually considered part of Massachusetts.
Who made that screw up?
There are inches of lawsuits you could read about.
Really?
It was quite an ordeal to bring that error, to rectify that error, and make this Connecticut, which it should have been from the very beginning.
But, like, you have these, like, borders are borders, and they're always squiggly. Like, why wouldn't it have just been a little squiggle here, and it was part of Massachusetts?
That is part of a much longer story, including a place called the Southwick Jog. So this was, for decades, this was a subject of great debate, whether this area, which was acknowledged as being inaccurately surveyed, should remain part of Massachusetts or be Connecticut.
What did the people want?
As with any debate, people were, people had different opinions. But speaking about the settlement, so the Suffield has great sandy soil, which is ideal for growing tobacco. And to this day, if you drive around, there are many active tobacco farms. And that shade-grown tobacco brought a lot of wealth to this area. And when you're talking about the Polish immigrant influx, a lot of Polish immigrants came here to work on the tobacco farms and bought tobacco farms. And the Suffield Historical Society actually were an umbrella group, and the Polish Heritage Society is part of the Historical Society.
Yeah, so you have a several different organizations within it, or is that just the one?
That's it. That's it for now.
And the house down the road,
right?
Is that open to the public, or like how does that work?
So the Suffield Historical Society runs and operates the Alexander King House as a museum, and we're free and open to the public for guided tours. Barry is a longtime docent.
And who was Alex King?
Alexander King, he was a doctor. You know, he was a leading citizen of the town.
And he donated his house to the town?
Or? No, the house was, one important item about the house, it never had electricity or water in it, so the layout is original, except for a little section that was rebuilt after a fire. But it was given to the, it was purchased by a wealthy couple who lived across the street in 1910, and the last tenants moved out. And then during the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, they restored the house. They hired J. Frederick Kelly, Yale professor and a leading authority on old houses, and he guided them in the restoration of the house.
And then they wired it.
And they put in electricity at that point.
We don't have plumbing in the house, but we do have a restroom off the back of our archives.
So what are, I mean, this is maybe interesting to nobody but me, but I'm going to ask it. Like, what about the setup of a home is different when it hasn't been altered, like pulled back to the studs and rebuilt inside to monitor? Like, what is there anything about the rooms, the low ceilings or whatever, that it's different about a house that hadn't been, like, redone for modern technology? Like, does it look like any other house when you walk in it?
It looks, the woodwork is unusually nice in this house. It's a center chimney, Georgian style, 1764. But the woodwork that was put in there when the house was built is unusually nice. Especially a corner cupboard and a parlor.
How do you get involved in this stuff?
Get involved?
Is this something you want to do, or is it, are you a lifelong historian? Like, what brings you to be?
Well, I'm a retired history teacher, but after I retired, I was asked to be a trustee in 1999, and I was a trustee for 20 years and involved with quite a variety of activities.
You're very married. A member of a very important family here, the Pease family. So Barry's wife was a member of the Pease family.
And what's notable about the family?
Joseph Pease came to Suffield in 1750, and then by 1760 he built, at the time, probably the best architecturally designed house in Suffield. And he became wealthy and a leader in the town, and in 1774, the town had a little meeting about what to do about what the British were doing in closing the port of Boston.
Yeah.
And he was one of three men chosen by the town meeting to write a response to that. And we have that copy.
Which side of history did he take? Was he a loyalist or was?
Oh no, these were patriots.
Okay,
so yeah, these were patriots.
And also, Royal Pease was the first resident of Suffield, Connecticut, to go out to the Western Reserve in Ohio and live in what's now Suffield, Ohio.
Huh. We're talking. By the way, I love this stuff. Christine Rytok and Barry Sisk from the Suffield Historical Society. Wish we had more time, but about a minute and a half. Any underbelly history, like stories, mythology, something? Give me a little bit of, it doesn't have to be edgy necessarily, but something maybe people don't know, mystery.
Haunted
house.
We don't have any ghosts. It is a question we get somewhat regularly. Have you seen any ghosts? I've spent a lot of time in the house. I haven't seen any ghosts. No.
Barry's incredulous.
One thing that I am trying to emphasize more is the labor that went into maintaining a house like this. The laundry,
this was a great point we had on the phone.
Yes.
About being wealthy is not easy either in the 1700s.
Because you have to not only keep up appearances, but there the variety of chores, the seasonal chores, the weekly chores.
Right.
It was hard. Life was hard work, even for people who could afford to have servants. Just taking care of a household was incredibly difficult work.
They're making the clothes. They're maintaining the clothes.
Making the fiber.
They're growing the food. It's like a full vertical, if you will, from a business standpoint. Like, they have to, and if you want to look the part all the time,
absolutely,
you're constantly working. Like, they obviously don't have washing machines and this and that, but not only they're growing. They're making, they're maintaining.
They're growing flax, they're making it into yarn. I mean, the amount of labor is, I think it's unimaginable to us today how much work it took to just keep a household up.
Anything with contemporary history, like someone was telling me about the tornado of 79.
Now came through, started in, Windsor and came up through 75 and then it bounced along north, and it came in through my property. I lost 55 trees on my property from that tornado. Luckily, they fell away from the house.
We interpret contemporary history. Yeah. That's something that's very important to the society, is we actively collect things from... History is not
It's not just old.
It's not just old. It's still happening.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's a really, really... I always glom on to the 1700s because I love... I just read, you know, David McCullough's 1776. So I'm all into, like, who was in the war and this and that. And listen, I wish... We got to go. It's great to meet you. And really, you know, Christine, just even the phone conversation, I learned so much, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Christine Rytok and Barry Sisk from the Suffield Historical Society.